everybody. Welcome to the podcast edition of my latest Level Up Health Education newsletter. This newsletter is entitled A Skill Cue for Analyzing Influences, and this is a little bit longer than usual, so I'm recording a copy or a version of this for the HPE Radio podcast. You can check this out in my email newsletter, or as you're doing right now, listening. Thank you for your support in either way. Please keep an eye on your pod on this space and your preferred podcast platform for more information coming from me in the first few months of 2025. Something I'm looking forward to sharing with you that I think you'll enjoy. On to today's newsletter. The second skill of the National Health Education Standards is analyzing influences, to analyze the influences that affect the health and well-being of self and others. Out of all the skills from the National Health Education Standards, this one can raise the most questions from both teachers and students. As a skill, I find that it connects to all the other skills from our national standards too. Students analyze influences as part of making decisions, as part of setting goals. And some teachers might skip over the skill because they view it as complex, or they might only focus on a specific influence, maybe media, culture, or their peers. I should admit to you that teaching the skill to middle schoolers can be tricky. It's been tricky for me in the past. So in today's podcast and in the newsletter, if you're reading, I'll share a skill cue that I use to teach a skill of analyzing influences, and I'll also explain how that skill cue can be used for any health content area. So hopefully I'm demystifying the teaching of the skill a little bit for you. Plenty of skill cues exist for analyzing influences, and if you're unsure where to start, I always direct people to the resources at RMC Health. You can check the link in the show notes to get to their website. They have a ton of skill cues that you can pull directly from. You could implement those skill cues or activities into your lessons tomorrow if you need to, or you can use them as a basis to create your own. Their middle school steps to analyze an influence are actually the basis for the acronym that I'm going to go over today. I ended up creating my own because I wanted a process that applied to a variety of health areas and one that wasn't necessarily focused on the future, like the one you'll see at RMC Health. Why use skill cues? Well, creating skill cues or steps to complete a skill helps students and teachers be consistent. And this consistency is for skill practice, for giving feedback and receiving feedback, and also assessment. And by using skill cues, we know that students have an understanding of the specific criteria for success when completing a skill. And as a result, from the teacher end, grading and giving feedback is so much easier too. It's also easier for students to remember the skill, which theoretically increases their likelihood of using it in their own lives. However, a quick note about using skill cues and acronyms in general. For lack of a better phrase, these are a means to an end. Our end goal for students is to actually use the skill in their own lives. And we know in the real world, we don't really think in acronym form. But this is a way for students to learn a skill, use it, and have it become second nature to them. And once mastered, they can build on the skill to fit their needs. Students can access the skill and engage more deeply in analyzing various influences in their lives by doing this. And it's a step towards developing lifelong health skills and health literacy. The skill cue that I use for analyzing influences is the acronym ICE, I-C-E. And you can cue that baseline. I don't know if we'll do that on this podcast. We'll see. But yes, Vanilla ICE, because ICE, ICE, baby, that's how I introduce this to students. This is how we analyze influences in my health class. Students identify, that's the I, the specific influence, tie in specific health content. There's your C. And lastly, explain, the E, how the influence affects that content area. Throw that into a sentence frame, model it, let students practice it, and we're well on our way to making sure that they know how to analyze an influence. So let's break this down step by step. Quick note though, that modeling the skill as written here, this happens after I introduce the skill and explain its importance and relevance to students and to their lives. This follows our skill development model, which is the key component of teaching the skills-based health curriculum. When I introduce this acronym, students have already been exposed to internal influences and external influences. They've thought broadly about how different influences might shape perspectives on human sexuality too. And this helps them begin to understand the impact of influences on their lives. So step one, I identify the specific influence. The first step is to have students identify the influence that they're analyzing. In some cases, I give them the influence, and in others, they have to pick one. Some example influences that I use when I model this, siblings, Instagram or other social media, Tom Brady, Taylor Swift, insert celebrity here, curiosity, the cute person in their science class, et cetera, et cetera. The influence you analyze might depend on the health content area that you're covering. It might not, but when I model using the skill queue, I use Instagram as a technological influence because most students are familiar with it. So, with the influence identified, we have the first part of our influence analysis. That is simply saying Instagram. And there we have it. Step one, we've identified our specific influence. Step two, health content connection. C is for content. This is where we tie in a specific health content area. And when I modeled the skill and students practiced this for the first time, I selected dimension of wellness as the health content. This keeps the analysis generic and just focused on general health. And it helps students develop the skill before we tie it into different areas of human sexuality, which is the content area that I pair with analyzing influences. And that understandably can be a little bit more complex. I usually use emotional wellness when I model the skill. So if we add that to step one, which is Instagram, we get Instagram can influence emotional wellness. And that's our second part. So we have our influence, we have our content, in this case, the emotional dimension of wellness. So maybe now you might start to see how this can be applied to different health content areas. Some examples to think about. Professional athletes can affect physical health. Peers can influence underage drinking, et cetera, et cetera. You could use various verbs here too, affect, influence, impact, et cetera. But I use influence because I found that my students think very literally and they think very much in black and white. And using the word influence while we are analyzing influences makes sense to them. So anyway, we know Instagram can affect emotional wellness. We've made that claim. Now, the last step is to explain why. Step three, the explanation. The last part of our influence analysis is to explain how the influence impacts or affects the chosen health content area. Technically, this only needs to be a sentence, but students like to elaborate, and you could be specific in your success criteria with what you're looking for in their explanation. So if we put this all together, we might get something like this. Instagram can influence emotional wellness because someone might see a picture of someone they're jealous of and feel bad about their own appearance. The example explanation right there is just a sentence, but students could have expand upon this with additional details. And as I mentioned earlier, depending on your success criteria, that's something you could choose to explore in more detail. So, student examples within the dimensions of wellness. As I mentioned earlier, in my eighth grade health class, students analyze influences around the content area of human sexuality. But the first time they use this acronym of ICE, I have students analyze an influence on one of the dimensions of wellness. In eighth grade, we go over 10 with them. So in our first two skill practices, actually, our first two practices focus on general health and dimensions of wellness and not human sexuality. So there are some example statements that I'll share with you from my eighth grade students. Before they wrote these statements, they completed an influence web. So if you picture a web and a graphic organizer in the middle of the web, they place an activity that they engage in, as well as a dimension of wellness under which that activity falls. And then on the outside of the web, they label different influences as positive or negative. And I've included these examples below as they were submitted to me. If you were reading this, you may notice some minor spelling and grammatical or formatting errors, but in the audio, you won't pick up on those. So let's look at influence or example number one. This student says, my teammates can affect my mental health because just like social media, they pick on me for things I can't control. They tell me the imperfections and flaws on my body as if I don't already see them. It can impact my health because I can start to think that there is something wrong with my body and that it's not good enough. And I'm not good enough. So, if I'm looking at this from a success criteria standpoint, I see they've identified an influence, the teammates, right? They've identified the dimension of wellness, of mental health, and they've explained why. And if I'm analyzing this from a perspective of a high school coach as well, I'm thinking, all right, we need to do some work here with how teammates support each other. Separate story for a separate day, right? Let's look at another example. This eighth grader wrote, my first positive influence for playing basketball are my friends. Friends can affect my physical wellness while playing basketball because they push me to get better and help me practice. If my friends are better at a certain thing while playing, then they can help me practice those things and get better. So again, if I'm reading this, I see the influence of friends. They have identified physical wellness and then they've given some explanations. So I found that by having students identify an activity and a dimension of wellness, I'm giving them options for analyzing influences. In the first example that I read, the student placed gymnastics and mental health in the middle of their influence web, and the second student placed basketball, physical wellness in the middle of their web. So they could have approached that from either perspective as far as what they were actually completing for their influence analysis. Developing success criteria is something that we should talk about too, because you can develop specific success criteria for students to reach specific performance indicators for the national standards for all steps of the skill queue. In my middle school, we are definitely still updating our units to the revised national standards. So the success criteria that I've given students in the past, that's changing. And in the email, there's a screenshot of the performance indicators for the middle school level. I'll share a couple of those right now. Now, if you use standard 2.8.2, this is one of our middle school standards for analyzing influences. Sorry, one of our performance indicators. This states to analyze individual, interpersonal, community, societal, and environmental factors that influence health behaviors, health outcomes, and health equity. Here's what it might look like. For the influence, you might identify a specific individual influence, like habits or genetics, interpersonal influence, like peer pressure, family dynamics, community influences, like access to hospitals and access to playgrounds and safe spaces to play, societal influences like cultural norms and public policy. You might have students use those as the influence. For content, this would depend on the functional health content you're teaching. You could use a dimension of wellness. You could let students pick. It's up to you. And then again, that explanation, maybe you say, hey, I want students to have an explanation that contains two specific reasons, and I want it supported with specific evidence that they cite. That's something you could do. That's just one example. You could also use 2.8.3. That performance indicator states to analyze how various influences affect the health and well-being of people and communities in different ways. And your success criteria could be specific, maybe to internal versus external influences, or to a dimension of wellness, or a specific community of people, middle school students, the elderly, a specific race, specific ethnic group, things like that. So these are just some things to think about as you are working on developing your own success criteria for analyzing influences. I have a few ideas for extending this activity and a couple other general thoughts about this skill. I've thought about making the acronym from ICE to IST and adding a D at the end, which would mean develop strategies to manage the influence. And in this case, students would be asked to then think about how they could manage that influence. So if we go back to that student example from above with the gymnastics team, maybe then this next step, the student could develop strategies to help manage positive self-talk or something like that. And this could work towards demonstrating proficiency for performance indicator 2.8.4 in the performance indicators, which you'll see when you click, look at them in the show notes. This skill also lends itself well to any content area. So it could be an open-ended unit. You could focus on teaching the skill, modeling it, students are practicing it, and then kind of letting them loose to find their own health topic. I also think the skill of accessing information can be used to help students research details for their explanations. So now we're seeing how skills complement each other. And this skill could be used without analyzing influences specific to the student's life. You could use case studies, you could use different examples, or keep things general. This is one reason why we decided when we shifted the skills-based self-ed to pair this skill with the content area of human sexuality, because all students are able to demonstrate the skill of analyzing influences without revealing their personal opinions if they choose not to. So to wrap this up, this is just one way to teach the skill of analyzing influences. It's worked out for me. Maybe it works for you or it doesn't, but either way, I hope you understand how you can adapt skill cues from other sources to fit your curriculum needs and your student needs. You'll see a link in the show notes to click a link to grab a Google Doc, and that has instructions that I just went over that I share with students on how to analyze and influences. And if you have any questions about using skill cues, just again, reach out, let me know. Jeff at leveluphealtheducation.com. If you're in our HP collective, feel free to reach out there. And I hope you learned something about analyzing influences today. Thanks for tuning in, and I will see you back on this podcast feed sometime early 2025. Thanks again.